Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's quarterly all-VR call. My name is Janelle Bratcher, and I am TPM's Ticket Operation Manager with Cognosante, and I will serve as today's moderator. We are very excited to host today's call using a platform where you get to see our lovely faces. It has been such a pleasure serving as the Ticket Operations Manager since transitioning the TPM contract a little over a year ago to Cognosante. Time really does fly when you're having fun. I'm very excited to work with you all again and pleased to serve as today's moderator. Please continue to reach out to me if you need anything regarding VR payments. Before we begin with our agenda and presentations, I would like to review a few housekeeping items. First, the meeting is being recorded and transcribed. Next slide, please. A few housekeeping reminders. Please remain muted at all times during the call, unless called upon by the facilitator. Please feel free to ask a question in the MS Teams chat section, which will be monitored by SSA. If joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, raise your hand utilizing star 5, and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. Then press star 6 to unmute yourself. Please ask one question each time called upon by the facilitator. Additional questions or comments can be sent to vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Those questions not answered during the live event will be forwarded to appropriate panelists for comment. If time permits, you will be allowed to raise your hand again after your question has concluded. And if time permits, we will circle back around to you. Closed captioning is available for participants who join using the MS Teams application or utilizing the separate closed captions link provided. To turn on closed caption in Teams, go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams window and click on More Actions. And go down to the list to turn on live captions. When using the link option, paste the link in the browser and it will open up a separate window to view closed captions. Thank you in advance for your participation. Today's agenda consists of welcomes from Rob Path, Chantel Virgil, will cover affordable connectivity program. Chantel will hold a brief Q&A session, and this will be for her section only. Erica Grado will cover outreach update. Erica will hold a Q&A for her section as well. Shada Roper will then cover 301 claims. Katie Streibinger will cover VR payment workload transition update. And Raquel Donaldson will cover VR help desk, case processing email, reconsiderations, 610 denials, and FY23 cost formula. When Raquel's section concludes, we will have an open Q&A session. Next slide, please. Now I would like to welcome Rob Path. He's the Director of Office of Employment Support at Social Security Administration. Rob?
Thank you, Janelle, for that outstanding introduction. And thank you all for joining us today. I have a little bit of work going on in other part of my house, so bear with me if you're hearing any noise. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today. I want to thank you for the service you provide to our individuals with disabilities. We're glad that you could participate. We have a lot of really good topics to discuss today. First and foremost, I want to thank the presenters who are going to present today. Thank you for the time and efforts to put together your presentations. I also want to mention starting out that we're closing out the end of our fiscal year and starting a new one. So for the federal government, our fiscal year starts October 1st and ends September 30th of every year. This year, the one thing that I wanted to point out as a really notable accomplishment and really take a moment to thank the team, is the full transition of the VR cost reimbursement workload from SSA over to our Cognosante ticket program manager. As you can imagine, there was an enormous amount of work and effort put into this, and it really started as an idea several years ago, and it took several years and consultation with many different parties, including our general counsel and our office with acquisitions and grants and some other folks. But, you know, at the end of the day, everything came together. It sometimes wasn't as easy as others, but we were able to train folks. We were able to get folks access to systems to make this all happen. So really, really big achievement on behalf of all those who participated. I'm thankful to our trainers, the behind-the-scenes folks who worked really hard to make this happen. I'm thankful to Katie for leading these efforts. I'm thankful to Janelle and the team at Cognosante. Everybody worked really collaboratively to make this happen, and I just want to extend my thanks and appreciation. One thing of note, as we start FY 2023, the federal government does not have a budget as yet. We're operating under a continuing resolution, and this is not anything that's unusual. If you pay attention to these things for the last couple of years, you know, usually sometime in the winter, there is a budget that is passed, you know, sometime around the start of the new year. This doesn't impact your work. It doesn't impact your organizations getting payments. We are currently funded. We're funded essentially at or slightly above where we were funded last year, while the executives and the Congress and the Senate and et cetera decides what the final budget amounts will be going into next year. So with that said, thanks again to all. A big accomplishment. I know we're going to talk a little more about transition later on in the presentation. Suffice it to say, you know, another achievement is that the pending, I hope I'm not stealing anybody's thunder, but I'm sure I am, is down from about 8 or 9,000 to about 1,000 cases roughly, right now. So, you know, it's just a tremendous accomplishment and great customer service all the way around. So that's all I have to say. I want to take now, a moment and turn it back over to Janelle. Janelle?
Thank you so much, Rob, for that helpful information and for the kudos as well. Next slide. So now I would love to turn the call over to Chantel Virgil. Chantel is an outreach specialist from the FCC, and the FCC is the Federal Communications Commission. Chantel, we are delighted to have you today to cover Affordable Connectivity Program.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Just as Janelle said, I'm Chantel Virgil with the Federal Communications Commission. And it's quite all right if you're not familiar with the FCC. But in short, our responsibility is to make sure that telecommunication devices and services are available to all. So we're here to talk about the Affordable Connectivity Program, which is a program that's going to help many people, or that has been helping many people around the country, households around the country, access broadband, afford broadband, okay? So let's jump right into it, okay? We're going to talk about the Affordable Connectivity Program, better known as the ACP, because the federal government loves their acronyms, all right? So next slide. All right, so let's jump right in. All right, so the Affordable Connectivity Program is a federal program that offers households, qualifying households, a discount on their monthly internet bill, okay? So let's look at how much of that discount it could be. Eligible households can receive up to $30 off their monthly internet bill. If that household is on tribal lands or located on tribal lands, then that discount, That discount can jump up to $75 off a month of their internet bill. So that is the first part of the program. There's a second offer to this program, which is a one-time discount of up to $100 off the purchase of a laptop, desktop, or tablet computer. Okay. And it's one thing that we need to point out when it comes to the discount. So most people, when we tell them about the discount, they may think that they can go to their retail store, maybe purchase the device, and somehow that's how they'll get their discount. But that's not how this program works. Whichever discount that you are receiving, whether it's the monthly discount off of the internet bill or the discount off of the connected device, that discount has to be accessed through a participating provider. That means all of the providers that you might know of in the country, well, only some of them have decided to participate in the ACP program, okay? And then there's a list of those participating providers that you will be able to access through the program. You will select, if you are approved to participate in the program, then you will select a participating provider and you would contact them to begin receiving the benefits. Next slide. All right. So now that you know how much of a discount you can receive, let's talk about how households can be eligible. So I've already said one thing that you need to pay attention to. This is not an individual discount. This is household based. Okay, so the household would receive the benefit depending on certain criteria that would make the household eligible. So one way a household can be eligible is if the household income is at or below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know whether my income or my household income meets the federal poverty guidelines. Well, if you go to the website for the Affordable Connectivity program, then there will be instructions and details to determine whether or not your household meets the income requirement. And let's say it doesn't. Let's say your household does not meet the income threshold, right? Well, it doesn't mean that your household isn't eligible for the program. That means that you just don't qualify through your income. There are other ways that you can qualify. Some of those ways is if one person in the household meets at least one of the following criteria, such as if one person in the household participates or receives SNAP or Medicaid, or if someone in the household receives WIC or a housing voucher. There's the list goes on, just to name a few, though. Some of the more popular qualifications would be Medicaid or SNAP. If you have someone in the household that receives free or reduced school lunch or breakfast program, then that household will qualify for the program. If there's someone in the household that receives a federal Pell Grant for the current award year, then that would make the household available or eligible to receive the Affordable Connectivity Program benefit. All right. So next slide. All right. So now that we know what type of discount we can receive as a household and whether or not we qualify, the next question is usually, how do I apply? All right. So there are two steps to applying. The first is to actually submit an application. You can do this in several different ways. You can go online to affordableconnectivity.gov and submit an online application. And of course, that's one of the ways that we would encourage you to apply. However, if you do not have access to broadband or access or the ability to apply online, then you can also print out an application or mail in the application. But make sure that whenever you're submitting an application, whether it's online or if you're mailing in that application, make sure that you put in as much of or include as much of the documents that is being asked of you. And that will just help the program or help your application be processed a whole lot faster. After or once you get your approval status, if you receive an approval status, then you have to connect with a participating provider. Okay, that means you have to access that list of providers that's offering the ACP, and you have to select one of them, contact them, even if it's a participating provider that you're already receiving service through. You have to contact that provider and say, hey, I've been approved for the ACP benefit. I would like to start receiving those discounts on my monthly bill. And then your provider will have instructions for you to follow after that. All right, next slide. Okay, so that is the Affordable Connectivity Program. And as you can imagine, all of the eligible households that are, that this can help in the country requires a lot of outreach. So if you or someone you know is interested in more information about the Affordable Connectivity Program, we do have a request to speaker. This is, I believe this is how your organization has gotten in touch with us for this presentation. So you can definitely contact us again and ask us for a general overview of the ACP, much like what I'm giving you now. You can ask for a trainer for tips on how to navigate the application process. Or if you'd like to host enrollment events, we would like to support you with that as well. If you want updates on, you know, what's going on with the FCC or any resources that may come available in the future, you would go to outreach@fcc.gov.
Wonderful. Well, Chantel, thank you so much for covering the Affordable Connectivity Program. For all that were unaware, we thank you so much for your time. Next slide. So now we will hold a brief Q&A session for Chantel for any questions that you have only regarding FCC Affordable Connectivity Program. You can ask those questions now. Next slide. Please remember to raise your hand to ask a question if joining via the Teams application by clicking on the reactions icon at the top and choosing the raise hand option. Now, if you're joining via phone, then you're going to press *5 to raise your hand. And once the facilitator unmutes, you can press *6 to unmute yourself. You may also ask questions in the MS Teams chat as well. So now we will begin with any questions from the audience. Catherine, do we have any questions for Chantel?
Hi, yes, Janelle, we have one from a caller with a phone number ending in 2888. Your mic is now active. You can unmute by pressing *6.
Hi, Chantel. This is David in Virginia. Two quick questions about this. Is this program one that the funding is there, or does it get reauthorized each year? And then if somebody is approved, maybe I missed this piece, but do they get that discount each month on their bill, or is it a one-time reduction? Thank you.
So there is a monthly discount of up to $30 off of your monthly internet bill. If that household is on tribal lands, then the discount jumps up to $75 off of the monthly internet bill. But then there's a one-time discount off of the purchase of a device. Okay. As far as funding, we do have funding for the program. I'm trying to remember the exact amount we were given for this program. It's somewhere around the $3.2 billion, I believe. It may be even more than that. So the funding has been allotted for the program. As far as we know, it should go on into the next year. There is a recertification for folks, depending on how they decide to qualify for the program. Okay.
Thank you so much. Catherine, do we have any other callers?
Hi, Janelle. No, we don't have any more callers at this time.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Imani, are there any questions for Chantel in the chat?
Hi, yes, we do have one question for Chantel, and it's from Maureen Bates. It reads, are Hawaiian homelands also considered under the tribal program discounts?
So if you would go to the affordableconnectivity.gov website, I think you will find a more clear answer to your question. It just depends on so many different things. There is a list that you can check to see if your location qualifies under the tribal lands discount. Does that make sense?
You did say thank you. So I think that made sense. Thank you, Chantel. Imani, do we have any other questions for Chantel from the chat?
No, not at this time.
Thank you so much. So Chantel, thank you again for your time and all this very helpful information. We do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So now I'd like to move the call along so we can discuss our outreach updates with Erica Grado. Erica is our TPM's own outreach specialist. Erica?
Thank you for that introduction, Janelle. As Janelle said, I'm Erica Grado with Social Security's Ticket to Work program. Can we go to the next slide, please? Outreach team promotes the Ticket to Work to eligible beneficiaries in a variety of ways. Next slide, please. Our WISE webinars are online events designed to explain the ticket program and work incentives through accessible learning opportunities. They are held on the fourth Wednesday of each month. Average monthly attendance ranges from 400 to 600 people, depending on the topic. Our next WISE webinar is Medicare or Medicaid Coverage and the Path to Employment. It is hosted on October 26th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Our presenter will focus on the myths and facts surrounding work, Medicaid coverage, Medicare coverage. TPM sends out sample social media posts every month for service providers to share via our Gov delivery announcements. We encourage you to share these posts and tag us on social media. Next slide, please. Our upcoming WISE webinar topics include Medicare and Medicaid coverage and the path to employment. That is October 26th. Our presenter will provide an introduction to the ticket program that examines the myths and facts surrounding work and Medicare and Medicaid coverage. We then have a presentation on November 16th, Working from Home with Ticket to Work. Our presenter discusses options for working from home as a ticket holder and tips on how to succeed in remote positions. Then on December 21st is Setting Goals with Ticket to Work. As people start thinking about their goals for the new year, we'll get them thinking about their employment goals for the year. And this webinar focuses on SMART goals as they relate to the ticket program and job search. Next slide, please. TPM schedules daily social media posts promoting a variety of relevant resources like blog posts, fact sheets, WISE webinars, success stories. We also share important Social Security updates and other information from different federal agencies. Next slide, please. Ticket to Work fact sheets provide information about the program and other work incentives. This month, for National Disability Employment Awareness Month, we encourage you to share what is Social Security's Ticket to Work program fact sheet with individuals who are interested in learning more about the program. Next slide, please. Ticket to Work success stories can be found on the Choose Work website and feature people who have achieved financial independence with the help of the ticket program. The Choose Work site also includes stepping stone stories. These are for individuals who have made major progress toward financial independence, but have yet to eliminate their reliance on benefits. Next slide, please. One of our success stories features Shirley. It took several years and a combination of strategies and treatments for Shirley to manage her narcolepsy and depression. Once she did, she knew she was ready to return to work, and the ticket program helped her reach her goals. Part of Shirley's employment team included a benefits counselor from AmericaWorks, who helped her understand how working would affect her benefits so she could focus on finding a job. Next slide, please. Success stories are a great way for ticket holders to see others like themselves succeed with the ticket program and achieve financial independence. You can help share their stories by promoting them on social media or sharing stories from the Choose Work site with individual ticket holders from similar backgrounds. Next slide, please. Finally, we encourage you to connect with us to get the latest information, resources, and events from the ticket program by liking us on Facebook at Choose Work, following us on Twitter at Choose Work SSA, watching Ticket to Work videos on our YouTube channel under Choose Work, and by subscribing to our email updates from GovDelivery and the Choose Work blog. You can contact us with questions about social media or asking for sample posts by contacting us at the email of socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov.
Thank you so much, Erica. That was all very helpful information. And now we would like to open up Erica's brief Q&A session. If you do have questions regarding anything that Erica has discussed, you can, and could we get the next slide as well? Thank you so much. So please raise your hand to ask a question if you're joining via the Teams application by clicking on the reactions icon at the top and choosing the raised hand option. If joining via phone, press *5 to raise your hand, and once our facilitator unmutes you, then press *6 to unmute yourself. You may also ask questions in the MS Teams chat. Catherine, do we have any questions from our callers?
Hi, Janelle. Yes, we do. We have Eugenia Cox.
Eugenia?
Eugenia, you are unmuted and your video is active.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I had to hit unmute. Sorry about that as I'm talking away. I'm not sure if this is a question for here, but I wanted to know how to update the Ticket to Work directory. Is that in, you know, if we needed to make changes in the directory?
I don't think Erica covered that, so that wouldn't be Erica's section. But if you could, we're going to limit questions only to Erica's section. But if you could put that in the MS Teams chat, we'll definitely make sure that we can get a response for you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Catherine, do we have any other callers or anyone with their hands raised?
Yes, ma'am, we have Kristen.
Kristen, you're on. I'm sorry.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you. So those are wonderful resources that I use all the time with our ticket holders. I just have a question. So there are some wonderful YouTube videos. There are two in particular, but they're outdated. So they're SSDI and working and SSI and working, which they're like quick 3-minute videos, which is a great introduction prior to our ticket holders receiving individualized benefit counseling, but they're outdated, meaning they reference SGA figures from 2021. So this year I have been using them, but giving them, you know, here are. So I was wondering if there's a plan on updating and also maybe widening like the YouTube videos.
That's a great question. At this time, we are going through and trying to update and try to give you the most accurate resources, including SGA and the latest information from Social Security. At this time, I can't tell you when YouTube will be updated, but we will try and do that for 2023 numbers.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your question. Catherine, do we have any other callers with questions?
Hi, Janelle. No, we do not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Imani, do we have any questions from the chat for Erica?
Janelle, yes, we do. We have two questions. The first one is from Jennifer Reddit. She is asking, can you speak more about the EN marketing campaign that ENs are able to enroll in that allows them to text beneficiaries?
Yes, I personally cannot speak on this Ian marketing campaign. I know exactly what you're talking about, but if you could send your question
And I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, but I see that Rob Path has his hand up. So I'm not sure. Rob, did you want to speak to the marketing plan?
Yeah, I can. We offer ENs that have the capacity to conduct outreach to beneficiaries, limited PII, like, for example, name and mailing address and or telephone number, et cetera, so that they can market their services directly to beneficiaries with and also they're marketing their services, but they're also telling them about the program at the same time. This is something we started in 2016 thereabouts, and we've gradually increased over time. We checked with our general counsel about, you know, being able to share this information with VR agencies, and we're told that it would constitute essentially a direct referral to VR, which is not permitted since the ticket to work statutory language was put into law in 1999. So we cannot do the direct referral, which would be us releasing it to VR agencies. So that's where we are with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob. That's very helpful. Imani, was that the last question, or do we have one more question in the chat for Erica?
No, we do have one more question. This one is from Donna Osborne. She wants to know, she said, I've never seen advance notice of WISE topics. Are they listed anywhere?
We actually don't list our WISE topics further ahead than 1 month prior. This is the first look at the next 3 months of WISE topics. And we will begin planning our next fiscal year soon, but that is not listed anywhere, no.
Well, thank you very much for that information, Erica, and thank you so much for your time today. Okay, now we will move on to Shada Roper. Shada is a lead policy analyst and training coordinator for Social Security Administration, VR team. And today, Shada is going to cover 301 claims. Shada?
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the fiscal year for Social Security Administration. And I am believing that it's the last quarter for RSA. This is more of a refresher. Katie and Rob wanted me to ensure that we are getting the amount of 301 claims as highly as possible. So it's not your average CRVR claim. So therefore, we're just going to go through a brief refresher of what it is to submit a 301 claim for payment. Next slide. This, I thank Lisa Kelly, who is not with us today, to show what you see on your end as you're submitting claims through the portal. So therefore, when you are submitting a 301 claim, we ask that you process the claim submission as it shows on the screen. So on your general tab, you would have an initial claim. And then please, once you've typed the type of claim, make sure that the claim base is on medical recovery for 301. That is how we know not to seek SGA information. Next slide. On the next slide, the general information that you put in for your regular SGA claims, where you have the VR enter date, the IEP date, and the VR closure date is necessary. Next slide. We then use your SVR information as we do on an average SGA claim, where you would have your name, the contact information, the authorizer of the claim, the title of the authorizer, and the date that we're authorizing this claim. Next slide. On the next submission page, we do the claim information, the SSA benefit status, the Social Security number, if they are a big A or if they're receiving SSI only? And then is the beneficiary blind? Were their medical services provided? And then for the continuous period of SGA, we have, as Lisa has here, 989, because there is no SGA per se. Next slide. The claim costs. So therefore, the amount for the direct costs, obviously there's no longer tracking, and the total costs involved, in addition to the codes that we use. So you will have to click the service code type. If you're using RSA or SSA codes, we need to know that. Next slide. The expense code, RSA or SSA, once again, the service start date and the service end date and the amount that you're requesting. Next slide. Then our last portion where you have the itemization for the direct costs involved. Once you've completed this, next slide, we have a 301 mailbox. You can submit the information to me at the VR301 mailbox, or you can submit it to my personal email that most of you are familiar with. Next slide. The VRs will receive an email that consists of a letter that states what a 301 claim is, why this information is needed, and how you are to fax this information to us. Next slide. The notice looks similar to this. Some of you who are familiar with filing 301 claims are familiar with the notice that you receive from me. Next slide. Once it's been submitted, the claim information will be here in our portal. As you can see, it says claim basis type, medical recovery, 301 during the VR period. That is what allows our TPM contractors and everyone involved in the claim processing that I now need to review this information as a 301 claim. Seeing as how there's no SGA involved, the screens will come across a little bit differently, and I will process this using the information that I've received from our Office of Disability Operation. Next slide. And that is it for now. I will pass this back on to Janelle. The questions for 301s can be asked at the end of the presentation when we are addressing all questions for VR cost reimbursement. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jada. We really appreciate that information on 301 claims. So now we will turn it over to Katie Streibinger. Katie is the VR branch chief, and she's going to be covering the VR payment workload transitional update. Katie, it's all yours.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I promise I'll be brief. I know everyone has a lot of questions for Shada and then our upcoming portion. I just wanted to talk through, as you heard in the welcome, in a milestone for SSA's VR cost reimbursement program, VR payments are now being processed by Cognizante, the ticket program manager contractor. You've already met our moderator, Janelle Bratcher. She's the director of ticket operations for Cognizante. She and her team, who you will hear more from on our next call, have been incredible partners as we have worked for the last year to transition VR payments from our SSA staff to her team. You probably are thinking, how is this going to impact you and your agency? Well, we hope you can already see the benefit. Your cases are being addressed as early as the same day you submit them. And while Cognizante will continue to handle the daily processing of VR cases, SSA will continue to perform oversight of the program. SSA will also continue to process reconsiderations as they come in. So do know that SSA is still in the mix and still handling your payments. We will keep you updated as we continue to transition various workloads. And like I said, we look forward to giving you more information and getting your chance to meet more of our team on our next call. Janelle?
Thank you so much, Katie. So now we're going to turn it over to Raquel Donaldson. Raquel is a senior program analyst for the VR team with Social Security Administration. And Raquel's going to be covering the VR help desk, case processing email, reconsiderations, 610 denials, and FY23 cost formula. Take it away, Raquel.
Thank you, Janelle. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Raquel Donaldson, and just a few housekeeping notes for me and for you. First of all, the VR help desk, I just want to kind of piggyback off of what Katie was just talking about in regards to transitioning. I know currently a lot of you will email the VR help desk with any questions or issues, but you also email me directly, which is fine. I'm just asking that you try to get more into the habit of emailing the VR help desk just because everything is transitioning over. I'm currently in the process of training others at Cognosante to take over the VR help desk. I'm not going anywhere, but there were some of the responsibilities that I currently have will be moving over to Cognosante as well. So it helps if you're emailing the VR help desk so they can see some of your concerns, your emails as well, and how I respond to them also. Also, when you are emailing the VR help desk and you're asking questions in regards to reconsiderations or issues that you've had with claims, providing more than enough information is always great. You always want to and try to include not just the claim number or the work case number or the SSA reference number, it's all the same thing, but try to include the person's name and definitely their social security number. It makes it much easier for me or whoever else is going to be doing this in the future to look up for you. And then we don't have to go back and ask you for that information, which kind of push back us processing your email and your claim and your issues. So that's what I have for the VR help desk. Next is the case processing email that I'm sure everyone received. I believe it was last week. I'm assuming that that's up there now, that email. Basically, we're saying, okay, the Social Security Administration is pleased to announce there is no longer a backlog of vocational rehabilitation cost reimbursement claims. As a result, some claims may be reviewed the same day. And that's probably the issue. I'm not going to read the whole thing that some people have been running into. Anyone who's putting in or submitting uploading claims and you're putting Verser in the remarks or you're actually putting the earnings information in your remarks, keep doing what you're doing. Nothing will change for you at all. We're simply asking that if you know you're uploading earnings information after you upload your claim, we're asking that you put remarks there saying, hey, basically the earnings information is coming right after this. This gives the technicians a heads up that they won't process it the same day because they don't see that earnings information there immediately. And that's how you're receiving a lot of 590s. But again, I received a lot of emails. If you're already putting Verser in your comments or you're already, uploading the earnings information that you're actually typing in the wages in the remarks comment, don't change that. Do exactly what you're doing. This email doesn't even affect you at all. This is just for those who usually have to upload your claim and then turn around and print out a fax cover sheet to fax in what earnings information you have. We need to know that that earnings information is coming. And keep in mind, even if you put in the remarks that earning information is coming, it needs to come within 24 hours. Otherwise, the technician will still deny the claim 590. So that's the information that I have for you. Just wanted to clear up any questions or concerns in regards to the email blast that went out last week. And if you're still confused or have questions, you know you can reach out to me at the VR help desk. I believe the next topic is reconsiderations. Please keep in mind when you're sending me reconsiderations or you're sending the VR help desk reconsiderations, you can't, when you're emailing because you got denied and you're questioning it, provide me with more information than I got denied. Why? The first thing is I know a lot of people do a great job of going online, printing out your reports to see your denials on a daily basis. But sometimes it's good if you wait for the notice of denial to actually come in so you know exactly, that may explain to you, give you a little bit more information. If not, and you still want to question why you're getting the denial and you have reasons for reconsiderations, provide me with that information. For example, if you know it's SGA, if you're disagreeing with the 620, all that information should go in the email right then and there. If I receive emails that just say it's denied, can you check and make sure it's right? You know, that's something that you probably should go ahead and just submit a reconsideration on. Sometimes, again, as you know, when the error is on SSA side and we've denied you an error, I have no problem with turning right around, then creating that reconsideration for you and reworking the claim. So that won't change. Let's see. The next thing is 610 denials. Sometimes you all have questions. It could be a 610 denial or a 950 payment. If you're questioning why, you know, you're thinking they should have been paid more, something like that, it's always good to include a copy of the payment ceiling calculator. I need to know what you use as far as the SSI benefit or the SSDI benefit amount. 9 times out of 10, what we've used is something different, and that's how we always, I always respond to you. I let you know what the response should be, or I let you know the benefit amount. Lastly, but never least, is the fiscal year 23 cost formula. I wish I had great information for you now. I wish I had some balloons to celebrate that we're already have it resolved as far as the cost form is concerned. We do not. However, we are working quite hard. We have some VRs that have been awesome in assisting us. We have included other offices, a budget, and other things at Social Security that need to be included on getting this cost formula created. Unfortunately, because RSA has changed their forms, it's a little bit different than just going back and putting in information. The wording is different. We're talking about grant awards now as opposed to fiscal year awards, so it has definitely made it more complicated for us to come up with an entirely new cost formula. I know in October it's usually when that I'm sending you the update or sending you the cost formula information, and unfortunately, I don't have a timeline right now to tell you when to expect it. With that being said, I always suggest that you do not hold on to your claims. They should be submitted when you see that you have the earnings there, the 9 out of 12 months of earnings, or the 3 out of 4 quarters of earnings. You should not hold on to those claims. Those claims should still be submitted to SSA, to the portal. It is our responsibility once we receive it, if we see that it requires the fiscal year cost formula to process, then we'll put that information in. We're responsible for placing it in diary. You will never be denied a 620 if it's because of a cost formula that we're waiting for. And I believe that is all that I have. Again, any other questions, you know how to reach me at the VR Help Desk, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Janelle. Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Raquel. That was so much helpful information. And I'm sure that if anyone has any questions, you can look in the chat and you can get the information on how to reach out to Raquel if you don't already know. So right now we're going to open it up to our SSA Q&A session. Raise your hand to ask a question if joining via Teams application by clicking on the reactions icon at the top and choosing the raised hand option. If joining via phone, you can press *5 to raise your hand, and once the facilitator unmutes you, then press *6 to unmute yourself. You may also ask questions in MS Teams chat. So, Catherine, we are now going to open the floor for questions from callers.
Hi, Janelle. We have a question from Eugenia. Go ahead, Eugenia, unmute.
Janelle is shaking her head, saying, I know she's going to have questions. On the 301, real quick, I've been doing this 18 years, and I've never received any notification of a 301 claim. I have no idea how to get one. Or who tells us if there was a medical recovery case, have no idea on how to get those. And that's the question I've been asking for a very long time. I mean, processing them once you get them, I can understand that, but I've never received any notification. Is there some place we go to look for these? Do we have to develop a relationship with our local disability determination services to know who's done medical recovery. I have no idea how to get my hands on one to know when there was a medical recovery. That's my first question. Real quickly,
let's let Shada or Katie have an opportunity to answer this.
Hi, Eugenia. So 301 claims start in our local field office. This is Shada. So they start in our local field office. So it would come directly from the field office, which doesn't start with us. It then ends up in our Office of Disability Operations. And Disability Operations, who's the one that send the information to that 301 mailbox to me to make me aware to send you an email to say there is a possible 301 involved. So it would start with your local field office. This is the information that's given to disabled claimants once they file for a disability claim. So that's one. Two, Rob and Katie and I are in the process of working closer with our field offices to find out what has happened with our 301 claims. We have had more than we've had in the past. However, we do know that there might be 301 claims hanging out there, but we are not sure having to do with the VRs, what the disconnect is from when a claimant is with a counselor and then it gets to you to process a claim. We are just provided this information from our disability operations office. And once I have that information, that's when you get an email from me.
Okay, so we would be getting notified directly from you. Okay, hopefully yes. We'll get one. There's got to be somebody who's medically recovered in Oregon in the last 18 years.
But, yes,
okay,
Eugenia.
Perfect. Okay, so hopefully we'll get some soon. My next question is
Before you ask another question, let me check with Catherine to see if we have any other questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hi, Janelle. No, there are no other questions.
Okay, perfect. You can continue, Eugenia.
Okay. Electronic signatures. I think we've asked this several times. When can we expect that in writing? Because our policy people are wanting to know if Social Security is going to be okay with electronic signatures now that our world has changed and we're doing more online services. So if we could somehow find out if we're going to be getting that in writing. The other thing, timely progress reviews. Any idea when those are going to start happening? We've been warning our staff that they're going to come someday, and we don't know how it's going to hit, but for us it's going to hit. You know, we have 2,000 some tickets assigned, and we don't know who's going to get what, when, and I'm just trying to prepare folks.
Okay, and Eugenia, let's take it one question at a time. So we're going to start with electronic signatures, and I will turn it over to either Katie or Rob to answer that question.
Sure, I can take electronic signatures. I honestly did not realize you were waiting for some updated guidance. I can take that back and keep you updated on that.
Thank you.
And then the other one, TPRs, timely progress reviews. If we are at the same place we were before, if we are about to start one or make some movement in that direction, we will let all providers know as soon as possible. But we have no indication right now. I don't have any news for you on that.
Okay. I did hear from our WIPA services that we no longer have to have clients call directly to the helpline, Ticket to Work helpline, to get a referral to WIPA. Is that true? They can call the WIPA directly?
I have not heard that guidance. Can I get back to you on that one? I have not heard that change.
Okay.
And we do not have anybody on this call that can speak to that. I don't have someone from the WIPA team here.
Okay, because when we're talking to clients on the phone about ticket and they're needing more benefits planning, then we can, you know, then assistance to go back to work. I do a referral, but I've been referring them back to the Ticket to Work helpline, and now I'm hearing that we don't need to do that. They can call WIPA directly. So, yeah, that would be great. Thank you. That's all my questions.
We'll give you some updated guidance on that.
Thank you so much, Katie. And thank you, Eugenia. And now I would like to ask Imani, do we have any questions in the chat for our SSA team?
Yes, we have two questions from Shelly. The first question is, previously we received an activity report by state. There was no report received for September or October. Are we still going to receive those?
This is Katie again. If you would like a copy, you can let us know and we can get you a copy, but we are no longer automatically sending it out. The information in that report is the same information that's available in the portal. So if there are discrepancies, you know, it's a great tool to try to check that out, but you should be able to see the same information in that report that's in the portal.
Thank you, Katie. Imani, next question from the chat.
Our second question, same from Shelley. Will the option of retrieving the claim determination letters from the portal ever be available? It would allow for expedited turnaround.
Can you be clear? Are you talking about the notice you get when you receive a payment? Are you talking about BPQI?
And Shelley, if you would like to provide more information, I know that was a chat question. You can press *5, raise your hand, and then we'll have the ability to unmute you. And then you can press *6 to unmute yourself. I don't know if she's on the phone or if you also need to raise your hand.
Katie, I think what Shelley is talking about, I think it are the C3, C7 notices where it's late start of SGA justification for that, and or if we're asking for a breakdown of the direct cost. I believe that is what Shelley is talking about. And if that's the case, I would love for them to be available in the – oh, Shelley, I'm right. Good. I would love for it to be available in the portal. I know it's not right now.
That is not a planned functionality for the portal, no.
There you go. And honestly, I will say this to Shelley and everyone else. Receiving the actual letter shouldn't slow you up from actually processing, getting the justification together. If you're looking into the diary and the diary provides you with what notice has been sent to you, what we're looking for, whether, again, it's late start of SGA. You know, with the late start of SGA, we're always asking for a signed copy of the IPE and case notes as well. If it's a breakdown of direct cost, then that's exactly what we're asking for. We need for you to provide us with each direct cost, the amount, and dates for that. I never suggest that anyone waits until the snail mail gets to you to send that information back to us. And that's also because that, again, like Katie was saying, that information is available, readily available to you in the portal. So when I receive emails that say, hey, I just got this mail a week later, can I get a untimely filing or a waiver for that? 9 times out of 10, the answer is going to be no, only because we know that there's other ways that you can find out about that information. If you go right to the portal, it's there. You know, again, you have VRs that are on the West Coast. So it's going to take longer for them to get a claim or a notice than it would take someone that's in the Maryland VR.
And I would add on top of, right, now that we talk about same day case processing, you know, your case is not sitting in a queue for 3 months before we get to it. So that means, you know, that you should, and we do hope that you are all going into the portal more often and checking, because we are just on top of this workload. Thank you, Janelle, and your team. So, you know, it is, you know, I know that, we got here faster than anyone thought we would. So we do encourage you to, you know, use the portal, and get in there and make sure you're checking everything because, yeah, the clock starts, with 30 days. So. And if you, and I will say, you know, if you have any, you know, problems with the portal or need help getting into the portal or adding users or how do I do this? How do I do that? Please do reach out to the VR help desk. That's why we're here. You know, the portal is a fantastic tool. And if you are not familiar with it or you need help with some of the features, you know, we are happy to walk you through what you need to do. We're here to help.
Thank you, Raquel. Thank you, Katie, for all of that helpful information. I see we do have one more hand, but it is 2:02. So I would like to know, do we want to take more questions or do we want to conclude our call for today?
We can take it.
Okay, great.
Hi, Janelle. We have Eugenia Cox with a question.
I just want.
Eugenia, I just cut out.
I just wanted to make sure that Katie, are you saying we're not going to get a quarterly report of all the states and their processing and their denial rates and all that stuff anymore?
That is not the intention at this point.
Oh, so I know we can get information about ourselves, but the whole point on that was to us to compare how we're doing with other states, you know, to see what progress we're making. I didn't realize that you were going to stop doing that.
We were using that report if you remember, we were using that report because we had 10,000 pending cases and the overall denial rate for all agencies was really high, right? If you remember, it was four years ago. So, you know, we were trying to use that report to help you see, you know, how your denial rate was overall. You know, we have seen such a vast improvement of all agencies and, you know, you know, we don't really need that tool anymore to communicate, but if that is something that VR is interested in, we can, you know, bring that back, but it would not be, I think, until we've completed the transition. It would be like we'd probably redo it, I would think, and improve it, you know, seeing how things have changed.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
I would say, you know, saying that if we were to revamp it, you know, if there are any suggestions for, you know, improvements to it, you know, because we kind of took a really old report back. I mean, that used to come in the mail, right? You used to be mailed that report. We took a part that used to spit out of a computer, you know, and mail it to you, you know, and then we tried to automate it and make it a little better, like I said, so we could keep on top of the denial rate. You know, if there are suggestions for something that would make it better, that would make it useful instead of, okay, I just scanned and I, you know, we look good. Because I think most VRs are checking just to make sure that everything is how they expect their numbers to look. So, I'd definitely be open for suggestions, you know, on how to make improvements. And like I said, we have a wonderful contractor here helping us, you know, with all of it, including reporting. So we're open to suggestions.
Well, we're having our peer meeting right after this and we could talk about it, you know, what information we'd like to see. Thank you for being open to possibly continuing something with that. Thank you.
We would just like to make it useful. Like I said, the past one had a purpose, and I think it's a great thing that our denial rate has dropped so significantly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Eugenia, I would add to that as well. I know you said that you're going to take a look at what you would like to see in it, but also consider how you would like to see it. I mean, we can't make any promises, but we can try to make tools that would be a little more dynamic. These are no promises whatsoever, but just understand that you can think outside the box and you can present Katie and her team with all options.
Okay. Thank you, Janelle.
I was about to say, Janelle, who gave you?
What'd you say?
You fired her as the moderator, Janelle. Janelle's personally going to program it, Eugenia.
Perfect. Well,
you'll be waiting forever and ever to receive it. No. Yeah, I mean, I know that Katie loves and her team love to receive anything that you can dream of. Not saying that it could happen, but you just never know. And if you don't put it out there as a wish, then it can't become a possibility. So thank you all so much. Today has been a phenomenal call. It's been great seeing faces and hearing voices that we haven't had the ability to do in quite some time. I would like to let you know, I know the screen says that you will receive the next AllVR call date soon, but that is now. So hot off the press, the next call will be January 10th, 2023. And that's going to be the beginning of the new year. So thank you all for your participation. And we've had a great call. Until the next call.